We want to say thank you and welcome to the chapel for worship. We're honored to have you. And for our friends who are visiting us online, we're sorry for the greenness. Our camera is dying. So but it's better than nothing. So I'm Pastor Bill. If I haven't had a chance to say hi to you, and this is Mona, my dear friend. So hi, Mona. And so we're starting a new series called Be Forgettable. And I've picked some characters in the Bible. And each week we're going to look at a different person up leading up through Thanksgiving that are really important people, but you probably don't recognize their name. So that's where we're at. And we're going to look at their lives and just learn from them. So that's where we're headed. A few announcements before we get started. We want to say thank you to our friends from Concordia for leading us in worship. It's going to be very awesome. I heard them practicing. We do have lunch after worship, and we're having tacos. And I have gluten-free. Woohoo! So it's in the fridge. The meat is in the fridge. You just got to warm it up. So, but please stay for lunch, because if you don't stay, we're going to have tacos for the next month. There's a lot of food there. Thanksgiving dinner is this Friday, the 19th. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. And so we would like one international student with one American to just get to know one another. And so we need you to sign up. We also need you to help come at 4 if you can and cook and help set up and decorate. So if you want to sign up on the back, please do. The Christmas song hymn sing service it's a Sunday morning service. It's the 12th of December. Avery's pulling it together. And we'd like to have a choir. We'd like to have instrumentalists, especially a trumpet, because, you know, Christmas songs with trumpet is just the best, the best of the best of the best. So please sign up on the back table if you can that Sunday. The ski trip is the 5th through the 8th. Last week I said it was the 12th. I had the wrong date. It is the 5th through the 8th. It's $280. We're going to Laramie, Wyoming, Snowy Range. You can sign up on the back. Ultimately, you want to reserve your spot through me. We have interns who live here, and so if you'd like to apply, it's a guy's thing because of security. You take care of the building. You lock up the building. The applications are on the back table. If you'd like to know more about it, come and see me. Bible huddles are on Wednesday nights, and we're always looking for new people, so please, there's the study for this week is on the table. It's also on our website, so you can go on our website and just click on events and then scroll down and write at Bible huddles. We do a lot of prayer walking, and that's how I get to know you and just hear for you. So if you'd like to pray walk with Mark or myself, that's our phone number. You can ask for it after church as well, but we would love for you to put our number in your phone, and we'll meet you on campus anywhere, 30 minutes, and we'll walk and pray. All right, so that is our announcements. Let's pray and gear our hearts towards worship. Lord Jesus, we are in this space. It just so happens that on this day, it's really a beautiful day, and we thank you. We thank you for the gift of life, of protection, of just all of the tender care that you extend to us in little ways and big ways. We are here to glorify your name, to draw strength in this sacrament, to receive guidance from your word. And so we have big expectations. Fill this room with your spirit. Help us to have coachable hearts to receive what you need to communicate to us this morning. And so we pray this in the mighty name of our God, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We start every worship by just meeting one another and saying hi, and then we'll have our opening songs. So meet somebody new, learn their name, and then here's a question. Who is the most famous person you have ever seen or met? Let's pray. There you go, Mona. Let's pray. Lord, our hope is alive. We have a hope that is living. Jesus Christ, you provide for each of us a hope that's alive. So, regardless of anything, regardless of circumstances, of triumphs, regardless of setbacks, heartbreaks, whatever it might be, our hope never changes. It's always alive. You are the roaring lion. You conquered the grave. You forgive sins. You do the dirty work of cleaning up our messy lives. That is who you are. And we praise and thank you, Lord, for all of your love and mercy for us, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I actually am one of the few people, well, first of all, I have zero musical ability. So I'm really glad when you guys use your talents to lead us in worship. I actually like singing into a mask. Because if you have zero talent and you can't keep a tune whatsoever, nobody else knows because it's all hidden by a mask. So thank God, I don't know that I ever want to get rid of these, but I'm sure we will, and hopefully we will. So we're thinking about being forgettable and being invisible and getting out of the way, really, of our own, like, our own egos, I guess, our own little tiny empires that we try to build. And so the gospel lesson, this is the very words of Jesus. It's in Matthew chapter 25. And I can see, you'll see how it fits this theme so well. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, he's talking about himself, and all the angels with him, that's going to be pretty amazing. Then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence. And he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then these righteous ones will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me." This is the very words of our Savior Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, in the few moments we have, may your Spirit breathe meaning, importance. May your Spirit bring clarity and life change, clear direction, and hope. We do not want to just sit through the next 10 minutes learning something and then going about the rest of our day unaffected. So give us coachable hearts to receive your holy word and allow it, Lord Jesus, to have enough space, enough groundwork to take root in our lives. In your holy name we pray, amen. So the person I chose for the first on the series of Be Forgettable is a guy named Tychicus. So any idea who Tychicus was? Okay, great. So Tychicus is mentioned 5 times in the Bible. It's in the New Testament. He was a close personal friend of the Apostle Paul. And he comes at the very end, towards the second half of Paul's missionary work, which lasted well over a decade. And when you look at the incidences when Tychicus is mentioned, it's very briefly. There's no explanation. At least he has a name. But we can put together a fairly okay map of his life story. More than likely, Paul met Tychicus either in this little town called Philippi or Colossae on one of the missionary journeys, and he became a believer and followed Paul around. And so when Paul is in prison in Rome towards the end of his life, Tychicus is there. And so we can imagine that Tychicus is one of those guys that was with the Apostle Paul when he's thinking about the book of Colossae and the book of Philippians. You know, and when you read those books, by the way, it's not like Paul was up at 2 in the morning and had a term paper due by 6 a.m. and he's sitting at the keyboard and just cramming out the book of Colossae and the book of Philippians. The books are so well carefully crafted. There's such a tight theme to them. What we envision is that Paul is in his jail cell, and he's walking back and forth, and Tychicus is in there, and they're talking theology, and they're talking about the Trinity, and they're talking about the sufficiency and the perfect accomplishment of Jesus on the cross. And Paul and Tychicus are having this conversation to really fine-tune this letter. And more than likely, Tychicus is one of the guys who actually wrote it down. He was a scribe. And so Tychicus is behind the scenes in all of this deep inner workings of Paul's mind and trying to get the gospel of Jesus Christ and what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ on parchment. And we know that Tychicus is the guy that Paul trusts to deliver the book of Philippians and the book of Colossians. So he trusts him to do that, which means most likely Tychicus is the guy who gives the first sermon on both of those books to the original hearers of those books. Because they would, you know, it would have been read in a one moment setting. They had an afternoon together and he would read the entire book, which is, you know, not very long. But then they would be, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? And this baby congregation is wrestling with these deep theological things, these important things of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And Tychicus was the guy who's like, well, it's this, but not this. You know, and it's like, think of it this way. The very first sermon on both of those books. I think maybe the most striking moments in Tychicus' life is there's a slave named Onesimus, and he steals from his master, and he runs away from his master, and his master is Roman. And so this is something that is punishable by death. We don't know how Onesimus eventually runs into the Apostle Paul, but they do, and eventually Onesimus becomes a believer in Jesus. And so Paul then says, Onesimus, you got to go back to your master. And his name is Philemon. And so Paul writes a little letter, and it's in the New Testament. It's like, Philemon, this slave is no longer a slave. This person is a brother in Christ with you, because Philemon is a brother. And Tychicus is the one who walks back from probably Rome, or somewhere in Asia Minor, back to where Onesimus eventually runs into Philemon, and then they restore that relationship. So the Apostle Paul trusts Tychicus in this very delicate life and death kind of moment. And so that's the story of Tychicus. And, you know, you add all that up, and it's like, wow, it's just great to be behind the scenes. So the verse that I want to land this on is Ephesians 6, 21 and 22. There's a few versions like this, but like I think it's also mentioned in Philemon or Philippians too. Paul says this, to bring you up to date, Tychicus will give you a full report about what I am doing and how I am getting along. He is a beloved brother and a faithful helper in the Lord's work. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are doing and to encourage you. And so Tychicus was a gifted pastor in the gift of encouragement, of helping this other church in Ephesus know about their needs. So here's the point. I'm going to land this. The church, the body of Christ, the fellowship of believers, we need to be a people that is forgettable, so that the goodness of Jesus, the power of Jesus, is made evident. Here's a good diagnostic question. Think about the people who know you best. What would be the top five words that these people would use to describe you? What would be the top three words that the people use to describe you? You know, what do the people on your floor, what do they know you for? You know, what do the people at your work, what do they know you for? How would they describe you? The beauty of this is that we have a tremendous freedom in Jesus Christ. When I think about the pressure that I experience, and you guys experience it in greater abundance than I do, the pressure to do things like, and I don't even, sort of like, you know, to build your brand, you know, to create a following, to speak your truth, you know, to get your truth out there and to speak your truth. When I think about the pressure to utilize your platform, I mean, I gotta create a platform, to create a following, to generate an audience, to be liked. It's like we live in a moment of time, and I don't know if it'll ever change, but we live in a moment of time when all of us, you're You're invited into this, and I think it's a really stressful thing. You're invited into this being your own personal publicist. Wow. To manufacture your own image and identity, the way people see you, perceive you, receive you, online and in person. And that's just a heavy thing, isn't it? Just that, let's just declare this to be a heavy thing. Let's just declare this to be like, this is the world in which we live. Wow. I've been on lots of really great trips with people, and I've had a lot of good conversations. One of the conversations I have with people, especially on like mission trips or ski trips or hiking trips, is like, we can get so caught up into a moment. We're in the mountains, and we're next to a cliff, and it's a really cool thing. And we're more concerned about getting the right angle and getting the right picture in that moment because it is so post-worthy that we can actually be more excited about posting something than we are than actually being in that moment and being in that moment. It's just a really heavy way to live. Isn't it? At moments, it's just a heavy way to live. So let's just all, like, this is my main point, and I'm going to be quiet, but let's all just call ourselves, let's just, like, step back from that and call a timeout from that. And it's like, Lord, help me to just live in this world that functions this way, but I don't want it to run me. I don't want it to ruin me. I don't want it to define me. I don't want to get caught up in that kind of management. Lord, help me by the power of your Spirit to be forgettable. And to realize that I don't have to build my platform. Jesus Christ is my platform. He calls himself my rock. And when I go about building my life on other platforms, I'm building my life on sand. And sand is not good because storms are about to come. You right? Let's just sort of declare that over our hearts this morning. That Jesus Christ, you are my platform. And whether I ever do have a platform that is any way noteworthy or follow-worthy, doesn't matter. Jesus Christ, you are not changing. And I don't have to work at speaking my truth. I don't have to figure out what my truth is. I don't have to compare my truth to your truth and see which other truth is more noteworthy. Jesus Christ, you are my truth. You are the standard. You are my true north. And my life is in great direction as long as you are close beside me. Let's just declare that over ourselves. I don't have to gain a following. Lord Jesus, you call me to follow you. And you say, Lord, Bill, put in your name, insert your name here. Pick up your cross daily. Follow me. And you promise me when I follow you that I may lose my life, but I will gain eternity. And you also warn me that I can gain everything in the world and actually forfeit my life. So Lord Jesus, help me to not get consumed with creating a following. I'm not counting likes because you like me. You call me your friend. I am your friend. And so I'm just going to rest in that today, and I'm going to rest in that. I don't have to build my brand. You call me to be humble. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who persecute you. I do not have to build my brand. You, Lord Jesus, are my brand. And I'm going to follow after your blessings, not my own. So that's my sermon. That's my sermon for you. And I hope that, you know, however this lands on your heart, may you this week be like the gospel lesson, that you are pleasantly surprised at how utterly forgetful or forgettable you are. And like the gospel says, when did we visit you in prison? When did we feed you? When did we clothe you? When did we, take care of you when you were sick? That you have a Holy Spirit-guided amnesia all around you. Because what's really important is that Jesus Christ is the one thing that other people say, oh man, that person is a follower of Jesus. That person's heart is in Christ. That person is a person of forgiveness because I think they must be forgiven. That Jesus Christ is your light. All right, do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Awesome. I want to give you something to kind of take. We call it setting aside, and it's another diagnostic kind of thing. It's a card. It's on your chair, and you don't have to do this. You can perfectly just sit there and just pray. But the idea behind our offering here is that everyone who follows Jesus has an offering. We talk about giving a bit of our financial resources, for sure, that Jesus wants to build generosity and gratitude in us. So if you came with your financial resources, you can put them here. But our offering is our time, it's our heart, it's our attitudes, it's everything that goes on inside of us. So here's a diagnostic question. In what way are you experiencing the pressure to be noticed? The pressure to be noticed. Okay? Think about that. Then I would encourage you to write it down. You can write it on both of these. You break it off, and one of them goes in the offering plate along with this name card if you want to get an email from us each week. The other one goes in your wallet. So when you're opening your purse to check something out and you see this card this week, you're just minded of this. You're going to be praying about this. It's like, Lord, I want you to address this area of my life. Because often the places where we want to be noticed are areas of insecurity and areas of, like, we're lacking. And so we're trying to compensate for that. So it's a diagnostic question. So let's do that. It's our setting aside, and then we'll continue on with the song.
Oh,
Gracious Lord, we are in the power of Christ. Here in the power of Christ we stand. Because we have been bought by your blood. We are purchased. You own us. So you own our bodies. Our body does not belong to us. You own our time. You own our intelligence. You own our resources. You own our future. And you paid for our past. So you own our past too. So really there's nothing in us that's really all that noteworthy. If you own everything, then there's really not anything in us that's really noteworthy. Because every time we've felt like success, you own that too. So Lord Jesus, teach us by the power of your Spirit to live invisible, to be transparent, to glorify you in all the little ways, Lord Jesus. And so when we go about this week and we see this card in our wallet, in our purses, and we're drawn to the human tendency of being noticed and realizing there's a bit of insecurity, Lord, help us to just confess that and to acknowledge that and to see that you are ultimately the one who satisfies. So bless us, Lord Jesus, as your Spirit works in the process. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's confess our faith. So I use biblical creeds a lot. This one's from Colossians chapter 2. And I think it really speaks well to, you know, in the areas where we feel pressure to be noticed, where we want to fix something or compensate for something or feel insecurity in something, that Christ is sufficient. So let's say it together. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In Christ, you were circumcised, not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him you were raised to new life because you trusted in the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual powers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Isn't that great? That is who we are in our fullness and what Christ has done for us. Now, as we approach Holy Communion, we're going to spend a time in confession, okay? So just go to God in prayer. Be mindful of the things that you know. You just need to come clean. And so confession is not a beat yourself up moment. Confession is a freedom thing. And so you're honest with the Lord about your thoughts, your actions, where you've been and not been. The kindness not extended. And just let God hear from you, okay? So that when we receive the forgiveness of sins, we're coming at it from a humble heart, okay? A moment of silence. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the gift of confession. And it's such a gift. We don't have to carry around our junk. We don't have to stuff it, pretend, or try to find ways to condone it. We don't have to play games. You give us the gift of confessing our sins because it's in our best interest to be free from it. And it allows us to be in a moment of truth when we realize our brokenness and our failure, how fragile our intentions are, and we don't really have anything to do with it other than just to confess it to you. It allows us to recalibrate what is true. That God, we started this morning talking about you're the God of living hope. And when we confess our sins, we acknowledge the fact that what we're doing is not living hope, but you are. We recognize, Lord, as we confess our sins, that our sin leads to a complicated life. And it may have benefits in the short term, but our sin never really works. And Lord, we need that clarity. And so we thank you for the gift of confession. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for the gift of confession because we know what follows next, a word of forgiveness. And so help us, Lord Jesus, to receive this truth again and to make it a marking identity of our very being, that we are yours and we are forgiven because of what you have done for us on the cross. In your name we pray, amen. I like to use words of scripture as a word of forgiveness, and I say this often, that I think the high point, the mountaintop of any Christian worship service is the absolution. It's just a clear word of forgiveness. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. He himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, live to Jesus. And by his wounds, you have been healed. I love the verbs. I love the verbs in these two verses because they're perfect verbs. They're verbs that denote that they've already been accomplished. They're not an ongoing thing. By his wounds, you have been healed. Not you're going to be in the process of being healed, but you have been healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. Christ Jesus is the guardian of your soul. You are forgiven. You're called to live a new life in him. And so you don't carry with yourself the residue of your past, but you do carry with yourself the promise of your future. Your hands are in great hands. It's just not your own. You're in the hands of Christ, Jesus your Lord. So receive the word of forgiveness for you. We want to say thank you to our friends online. And if you're worshiping with us, we're honored to have you. We're going to receive the sacrament. So we pray that you have a great rest of